Father God, we honor you today in what we do, and we're thankful for those who will hear this. Lord, bless them, encourage them, lift them up, build them up. That's our heart for people. And Lord, give us words to say it would bring life and encouragement to everyone. Father, our heart means this, that we get to do this, and we honor you in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's Wednesday, January 21st, 2026. We get to do this. This is episode number 19.
To do this.
Hey, brother.
Brother, it's true. We do get to do this.
We get to do this.
I know I'll wear this thing out. I'm just like beating a dead horse, but it's true.
I love it. I hear
it. It really is true.
Sunday, you're preaching, and I'm like, hey, he's promoting the podcast. We get to do this. He's promoting. Oh, there he goes, promoting the podcast again.
That's shameless. Good. Shameless.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
It's because we believe in what we're doing. If I didn't believe in this, if this was just like a fun side thing, you know, you'd never hear about it, but I really believe that what we're doing on here matters.
Oh, 100%.
And it's helping people because we're getting feedback. People are writing and...
Well, the best is when I come into church Sunday and people are like, hey, you know, is this about you, Pastor Jimmy, and about this, and I'm talking about that. It's nice. It's really, really nice. And since I haven't been able to talk about it on the show because I was restricted, you know, my First Amendment rights were thwarted, I'm going to be a grandpop.
Oh, there you go. Okay, now it's official. You can talk about it.
Yeah, I can.
I was like, where's he going with this? Did I tell him he couldn't say that on the air?
No. Okay. Nothing is off limits. No.
Exactly.
So I'll just tell the story because I haven't been able to tell anybody. So
love it.
My daughter, Christina, and her, I call him the fiance because they will get married, although I've not received any request as such. But
I could marry them over Zoom.
Oh, man.
We could get that done.
I love it.
We can get it done.
I'm going to tell her
that would be a first for me, by the way.
That would be pretty awesome. So they came to visit us for the holidays, and, you know, they came in like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. They had a long flight, you know, and then to drive from Austin, and, you know, they're, you know, we're just hanging out. We're having a little tea or coffee. I think actually we gave them something to eat, and then Christina said, well, I have to give you one of your Christmas presents now. We're like, well, why don't you just wait until Christmas? No. So we had to close our eyes. And there's lots of shuffling, and I didn't know what's going on. I said, okay, you can open them. And we each had a T-shirt with our grandparent names on it.
Whoa, that's cool. You didn't even tell me that.
Yeah, and it says, you know, Grandpop, and then on the back it says, coming July 2026.
Oh, man, that is awesome.
And all of the sonogram pictures. And it was just, I mean,
brother, that is beautiful.
And Kevin filmed it. He filmed the minute we.
I love
we
Kevin, by the way.
Kevin
like
is
that
a
guy.
He's a good man.
He really is.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he has your approval.
I'm not texting anybody.
Yes, you are.
I'm fixing my ears. I'm officially an old dude now. I've got hearing aids. Look, adjusting.
You're a modern old dude. A modern old dude sits with his headphones on and says, excuse me, I'm adjusting my hearing aids
I'm
for
not
the perfect
texting.
Sound.
I'm getting the right sound for an audio file.
I'm still taking them out. Would I get the headphones on? Mm-hmm. And I like it because, and I have my headphones loud, as you can see the difference there.
Kidding.
But I don't know. It my ears are then conditioned to something else, and it sounds fresh. And I really like it.
Because it balances the sound out.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if I don't have them in, I have to compensate, and I can't on this.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
So it's just better to have them in. Everything's balanced, and
for
and
those
I can
who
adjust them.
For those who are wondering, these are the Jabra. What is it? 700.
It's 700
model.
Yeah, you got that right.
And we got them. We got just as old man talk.
I know.
We got a deal on them because they're now, you know, $19.99. We got them for $1,600. Didn't we?
Oh, I didn't know that was.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were up that high. But man,
we bought them together. That's real brotherly love.
The old friends.
Brotherly love, man. Hey, I want to thank you for your daily grind devotional today. You're doing every single day, 7 days a week, almost 365 a year. You might take couple of days off here, there.
Like you've been doing with no agenda. You just never stop.
Basically never stops. And I love some alliteration with the Jimmyism. And you had in here, the desert is not a detour. It's part of the calling. It's such seasoned self-awareness is grace. You want to just explain about this daily grind? I'll tell you why it affected me and what it meant to me.
Yeah. So I've written these things for over 20 years. I've got tens of thousands of them. Mm. I rarely repeat them. Every once in a while, if I'm in a bind,
hey, I'm like, a best of.
We got to do a best of like course, you guys on No course, Agenda, right? Course. You and John. So sometimes I'll dip into the archives, but very rarely, actually. I started doing it as a discipline because I was always reading devotionals. Mm-hmm. And one day it dawned on me, why don't I just write one?
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't thinking about writing a book. I just meant writing a daily something in the morning to keep my focus, which is what a devotional does. It turns out it basically is. I'm writing a devotional. So
it's as good as for you as it is for
exactly.
the readers.
It is good for me. That's it. So I've got my electronic journal is full of them, thousands of them. And so I write one every day and I've sent it out to friends. I put it on social media.
What I like about your devotionals is because we're friends and we talk a lot. I can always see, oh yeah, he probably wrote this because of this was going on or this headspace or something like that. And I sometimes think that our conversations may influence them because
no doubt.
That's how it felt to me. You want to just, what was the, I didn't actually put the scripture in here in my notes.
I got it right here in front of me. So it's Luke 4:1. I love that passage. I took my own advice this morning, scripture before screens.
Yes, sir.
I grabbed my Bible
over
here, didn't open anything up. And I did the roulette thing through the New Testament, you know, where you just kind of thumb.
Needle drop.
Oh, yeah. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. So I love it. But I've got a lot of marks in my Bible, so things will pop up. Mm-hmm. So I just, I was thinking, because I've landed on something else. I was like, man, I love that whole scenario around the Holy Spirit leading Jesus into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Whoa. I mean, it just boom, came out of nowhere, Throne Central.
Right.
So I just turned over there in my Bible and then I wrote on that and things just begin to flow out of me. And I do that every day. I mean, I've done it for, like I said, 20 plus years. I'm really underselling it. Probably 30 years, close to 30 years I've been doing it. So today I talked about where power is formed because of these desert seasons that we all go through and everybody goes through them. You don't even have to be a Christian and you can recognize, man, I'm in a dry season, right? Things aren't flowing. My creativity's not happening. I'm not getting new ideas. I'm in a funk, you know, I don't feel good. I mean, so we all have them. The interesting thing is though, as a Christian, a follower of Jesus, we actually realize God is using that season to form us. One of my mentors, Pastor Kevin York, mentored me for years, still does from a distance, but we were dear friends for many years, and then life took our proximities into different places. And he said something to me years ago. I was on the phone. I was complaining about something. I was really mad. I was leading a church. He's like a big-time pastor and you know, mentoring young Timothy here, you know, Jimmy, like Paul mentoring Timothy. And I'm sort of mad about something. He said, Jimmy, God is forming a man.
Wow.
And I was like, that's it? That's all you got? And he's like, and he said,
like, really, Pastor? You can do better than that.
And God is forming a woman, talking about Annette, because we were going through a hard time.
Right.
And he said, Jimmy, this is the anvil of God.
Yeah. That's where he's forging you into a sword. And
yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Thanks, Pastor Kevin. So it didn't make me feel better, but it brought clarity to God is forming a man, God is forming a woman. And I knew enough about a forge because I had a friend that was a blacksmith and he built like ornate gates out of iron.
I mean,
and it was a real deal forge. He'd take me in there. It's like 150 degrees in there.
Yep.
His right forearm. He looks like one of those, you know, arm wrestler guys whose right arm's bigger than their other arm.
His hammer arm.
His hammer arm. Mm-hmm. And he would talk about it. He'd hammer on stuff and heat, pressure. And hammer blows, man. That's what you do. So, yeah, sometimes we're on the anvil and it hurts.
Well, it spoke to me. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say it hurts in the moment. But if you respond well, and respond rightly to it, it actually produces amazing things. I've learned more in my wilderness desert seasons than I've ever learned on the mountaintop. I almost hate to admit that because I'm not looking forward to the next valley, but
right.
They're a part of life. They're a part of it.
So it spoke to me because I had just been in a desert and several people helped me get out of that, you included. And I just wanted to talk about my experience a little bit as a new Christian who's learning how to use the Word of God. Because I had a work situation that was making me very, very, very unhappy. And there were some things that were happening, and I was ready to thwart the advice of 1 Thessalonians 5. I was ready to repay evil with evil. I was really, really, I was mad. And it's been going on for a while. So I'll just read that, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. The never stop praying is the only part that I kind of took away. I'm like, I'm not joyful. I'm thinking about doing evil for evil. And as I was going through this process, it was really got to the point where I really didn't want to do this work anymore. Mm. And so here comes another, this is another scripture that kept going through my mind. You cannot serve two masters, because I was very worried, like, well, if I stop this, God, what am I supposed to do to pay the rent? What am I supposed to do to help the different people that Tina and I like to help with, the blessings that we get?
You mean you were being human?
Yeah.
A human being human.
Yes. Yeah, human being being human.
Those are legitimate thoughts.
But I get
where you're going.
It was really difficult because, and what was so wonderful, and this is how Tina, who's been on this faith journey with me, how much she has changed. So once I told her what was going on, it's not a new story to her, but I've been wrestling with it for a couple of weeks and didn't really want to say anything because, you in a household, it's like, well, I'm thinking of stopping doing this. And so that might mean some different things in our life. And she was so wonderful. She said, take the money off the table. You got to stop that. Take that off the table. We'll be provided for no matter what happens. And that was
very mature.
Mind-blowing.
That's a huge
mind-blowing.
Wonderful.
You need to be joyful in what you're doing, and we'll figure it out. And God will provide for whatever we need. And she said, we don't need to travel. I don't need this car. So we'd like the house, but, okay, well, then we'll go live in Jimmy and Annette's backyard. I'm like, okay, now you're taking it too far. So I'm kind of saying it out of order because I actually spoke to you about it first because you came over and the girls were off doing something. And I'd like, brother, I just got to talk to you about something. And I laid it down and you were so helpful. First of all, you didn't solve anything. You weren't like, I'm going to tell you, oh, here's what you do. Hold on a second. I'm going to pray over you. Let me get this scripture. Because you're a friend too. But yeah. I was approaching you as a friend and I think a pastor at the same time because I'm really looking towards
a brother.
Scripture and a brother. Yes, exactly. And because I felt that what I was doing, I was not bringing my godly self to my job. And you told the story of a friend. I don't know if you want to retell. Can you retell that story that you?
Yeah, the short version is this. I had a friend. I started this men's Bible study. Just a handful of guys. We'd go to church on Wednesday night. This was back, this was a long time ago. Probably 2001, 2000. We'd go to church on Wednesday night. And then this four or five of us would go over to IHOP and just wolf down some pancakes and then go to bed. I mean, back then you could do that. I would not even think of doing that now, but we always had this great time. We were going through this and this one guy, he was a sharp young man, brand new Christian. He's probably in his, maybe early 30s, late 20s, early 30s. And, he said, "Hey, Jimmy, can I talk to you about something?" I said, sure. He goes, "Hey, man, you know, I'm a new Christian. I said, yeah, I know. I saw you get baptized. It's amazing. I said, I'm so glad you're in this group. He said, I'm learning so much. He said, but I'm wrestling with something. I said, what? He goes, I work for a very well-known and successful beer distributorship. Mm-hmm. And he said, my job is to take beer to all these different bars, clubs, venues, stores. And he said, and everybody knows me here. And we were in West Texas, and, you know, he's known in town. He's respectable, integrity, sharp. And he said, I'm known and I'm liked and I'm successful in this business. And he said, I feel like I need to quit. I said, for why? Why would you quit? Mm-hmm. You've worked hard to develop that. And he goes, but I'm a Christian now and I'm delivering beer. I said, well, who told you that was illegal? I mean, why do you think that? He goes, why? Because it's alcohol and it's beer. And I said, you're going to make more of an impact staying in that job with the gospel that's growing in you than you will if you quit and then from the outside in start trying to tell people about Jesus. I said, you're on the inside, brother. I said, you keep doing the same thing you're doing unless God tells you not to. I'm very clear and careful mm-hmm. about that. I don't mm-hmm. tell people what to do. I said, if God tells you to step, you need to step. But if he hasn't told you and you're just wrestling, then until you know what to do, stay doing what you're doing. And I said, you'll be a greater witness. Those people already know you. They'll see the difference, and you'll honor God with what you do. I said, jobs are irrelevant, man. It's just what we do to pay the bills. It's who you are that matters. And I just let him go.
And that story,
and he stayed with it.
That story helped me enormously. And as I thought about it and I prayed about it and I realized what I got back was I need to change my heart posture. That was the thing.
It's good.
In fact, the next day you texted me, you said, you are not who you used to be. God can use Adam 2.0, wherever he happens to be who you are now, not who you were. And you sent me 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And what was amazing is I walked into the situation, I had changed my heart posture, and everything came out in a beautiful way, in a very respectful way. Things were settled. Because I was also reading, like, you know, don't go to court with, you know, try to settle before you go to court. I'm like, I was, my whole mind was just flipping out, and it was so wonderful. And I know now, it was really me. I had to change myself, and I had to let the 2.0 come out. So I want to thank you for that. And I hope that people hear this, because anybody in the situation, anybody in the desert, and I did without this desert thing, I actually, when I was praying, I'm like, God, are you just hammering me here? Are you just forging me on the anvil? That's literally what I was thinking of without thinking of the desert part. So know that it works. This Bible thing, this God thing, is pretty amazing when you just get down to it.
It is.
And I want to thank you for
it. Well, first of all, it's a privilege to walk with you as a friend and as a brother. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. And, you know what I love is that from our various backgrounds and what we've learned and what we've both grown in our various spheres of influence is we've been able to encourage and help each other.
Yeah.
I've learned so much, and the church is now getting the benefit of that. Is it okay if I tell our friends that you're writing a weekly briefing?
Sure.
It's just so cool. I mean, I love this. So I do a weekly briefing at my church where I pastor. I've been doing this for now a couple of years, 2.5, where I just kind of, what's going on right now? What's pertinent? What happened this last week in the world mm-hmm. or in our country or locally that's important and that you need to hear from your pastor about, and you need to hear from a biblical worldview, because there's so many lenses out there that we're seeing things through. Mm-hmm. The grid that we get news through mm-hmm. is just so tainted, so broken, so agenda
or targeted,
good word. Mm-hmm. I was going to get there eventually. I got a lot of words for that, but it's all very slanted, obviously. So, you know, we want to try to bring news that's health, that's accurate, but also through the lens and grid of the Bible, the Word of God, so that we're helping our people jump, you know, step away from the ledge, not jump off of it, but step back from the ledge. Don't let all this spin you up. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drop your cortisol levels a little bit and let's take some strategic and wise looks at what's happening through the grid of the Bible. When you look at the world scene, all the craziness in politics, global issues, wars and rumors of wars, economics, all these different things that are happening, but you look at it through the grid of the Bible in a biblical and Christian worldview, you just take a step back and go, it's going to be okay. Igbok. It's going to be okay. Igbok.
Igbok.
I know, you didn't think about it. Igbok. I saw it on a coffee cup in Tennessee one time. I thought that was really cool at this country place. I'm like, I like that. Igbok. I stole it.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, it's going to be okay. Why? Because God has not left the building like Elvis did. He's not jumped off the throne. He's still steering the ship. But there, the Bible is clear that some hard things have to happen before the end comes, before we get to those, the last of the last days.
And he's also,
and it's okay.
He's the same as he was and same as he is and same as he ever will be. So when you read scripture and you read the situations, you can apply them. And so, and you asked me to say, oh, can you give me a boots on the ground? I wrote one. You said, hey, can you do that again?
I'm like, yeah, I kind of like this.
I mean, I'm not a writer, actually. And so now that, you know, now that we're going to do this, I said, Tina, babe.
Oh, that's awesome.
You got to help me with brevity and grammar.
You said, hey, Tina's going to help us with grammar.
And grammar and brevity.
Yay. Because I love what you're bringing, though, Adam. I mean, you're bringing your experience, your understanding, and lots of the boots on the ground guys and gals that you know around the world who are contributing to this is really what's going on. As opposed to what you're hearing in the news, the narratives.
And when I do this, and I just write it kind of on Saturday, I try to focus on really what people are seeing. We had already talked about Minneapolis.
Right.
And, you know, this is, make no mistake, everything you're seeing is political. And wow, it just blew up a couple days ago. And I wanted to discuss this specifically. Before I do that, we need to help our listeners, our family, our church, with some terms. We have to make sure we get these right. People talk about free speech. I would like everybody who I know to get into the habit of saying freedom of speech.
Interesting.
It's very specific. The First Amendment talks about the freedom of speech, not about free speech. It's a trick.
Interesting.
And free speech will soon be used somewhere in the future to say, well, it's that's like free as in free beer. You know, it's not the same thing. And words really matter. And so we might as well say
that's good.
My freedom of speech. It's two different things.
Oh, that's
free
so
speech
good.
What you post on X is free speech. It doesn't cost me anything. That's free speech. But it's not necessarily freedom of speech.
Boy, that nuance matters, doesn't it?
Well, there's two more. This is one that I fall into all the time and people remind me it's Democrat, not Democratic. So it's not the Democratic governor. It's not the Democratic mayor. It's the Democrat. It's
Excellent.
The Democrat party.
You're right. Words matter.
They try to make you think that they are the people who own democracy, Democratic, and you hear it on news all the time. Words matter. If you get in your mind, no, it's Democrat, not Democratic.
Excellent.
Because we do have a democratic system where the people have a vote. Of course, we are a
constitutional
republic
yep.
of states, which is a representative system. But we just have to, it's good.
It matters.
It matters. And
I agree.
And the other one is the First Amendment speaks about peaceably assembling. That is not the same as a peaceful protest.
There you go.
This is a very, very, very big difference. And in fact, let me just read the First Amendment.
Yeah. And then I want you to get, and if I don't bookmark it, I'll forget.
Yeah, please.
What it means to redress, because we have the right to redress.
So yes.
Whenever.
I mean, I don't actually have redress. In this, if you want to discuss it now, the redress part, because that's how lobbying works. But there's also a lot of nuances there. I really wanted to focus on the petition is where that comes in. So the First Amendment, and people need to understand, just to reiterate, this is what when the Bill of Rights was written, these were specifically intended to be restrictions on the government. This is not rights you were given. This is not anything that any man gave you. We have these inalienable rights, and this is codifying things that the government may not do. And the government here is called Congress. Congress shall make no law. That's a restriction. It's not like you get to have your First Amendment rights. You get to have your freedom of speech. No, no. Congress shall make no law. And I always love this, respecting an establishment of religion. Just so we know, religion, faith, thinking came before speech. You know, it was faith before the speech part, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, which of course happened within COVID, and we all need to repent on that, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So peaceably assembling is important. The freedom of speech or of the press. And this is critical for what just recently happened. The freedom of the press does not mean that the press can go anywhere they want. It means the press can write or report whatever they want. Doesn't mean that they can come into my house and say, I'm a journalist, I'm here to report. These are very, very critical things because, of course, what I'm alluding to is what every church-going Christian is talking about right now is what happened in the Baptist church in Minneapolis. And we're making some big mistakes as believers. The first big mistake we're making is thinking that this is about God or hating on faith. This is
right,
this is
right.
Political. Agreed. political. This is a Democrat operation meant to put Republicans into a bad light, and even worse, to make Republicans attack
exactly
one person, which is Don Lemon. And right. Don Lemon has the trifecta. He's homosexual, he's black, and he's dumb. I mean, I would say that to his face. He is low IQ because let me call him ignorant would be friendlier because he is very ignorant with the things he says. So if you didn't see what happened, there was a protest. They went into a church and they started protesting, no ICE, hands up, all of this different stuff. And Don Lemon is the one who was being blamed for it, which is a critical mistake we're making. Critical, because now you're actually fueling fire to the political process for which this was intended
taking
in the first
bait.
Time. Taking the bait. So Don Lemon, and I have several clips on this, who claims to be a journalist. He's now inside the church talking to the pastor. And we know he's the pastor because he's got his little side mic on as the people are protesting in the background. This very disruptive. I could just imagine this happening in our church. The outcome probably would have been different.
It would be way different.
It would be very different. But, it terrorized children.
Yes,
it was a scary moment. So here's this clip.
This is unacceptable. It's shameful. It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians in worship.
But there were folks who will say,
I have to take care of my flock.
Okay,
my
but listen, we live in there's a constitution in the First Amendment to freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest.
Yeah. We're here to worship. We're here to worship Jesus because that's the hope of these cities. That's the hope of the world is Jesus Christ.
I want to be very respectful. Please don't push me, though.
We're here to worship Jesus.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why we're here.
Okay.
That's what we're about.
Don't you think Jesus would be understanding
love
these folks?
We're about spreading the love of Jesus.
But did you try to talk to them as a Christian?
No one is willing to talk.
Okay.
I have to take care of my church and my family, so I ask that you actually would also leave this building.
You don't want us to
unless you're here to worship.
I'm always worship. I'm a Christian.
We're here to worship.
Yeah.
We're here to worship. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. So Don Lemon's idea here is that there is the
I see where you're going.
You have the right to peaceably assemble.
We're under the Constitution, man.
That's and let me just I actually looked up to peaceably assemble, protects gatherings for lawful purposes, which actually in the legal context says protest, worship, etc., provided they are nonviolent and do not pose a clear and present danger. This is not absolute and is subject to the distinction between advocacy and incitement. Time, place, manner restrictions are always taken into account. And peaceably assembling can only be done in a public place. In fact, law enforcement has the right to say you can only do it at this time in this place. They have that is, you know, that's how the law has been interpreted over time. And even, you know, the people like to turn on bullhorns and blast it in someone's face. Believe me, that is not peaceably assembling.
Exactly.
So a protest. And that's the big joke, of course. We've seen this throughout the riots throughout the years. Well, everyone here is protesting peacefully, and there's fires blowing up in the background. No, peacefully protesting, and there's we'll get into some interesting case law and some interesting actual laws about where you can protest and outside of certain. Peaceably assemble outside of certain structures. But first, I need everyone to understand that Don Lemon was in on this from the beginning. This is not like a journalist who just happened to be in Minneapolis. This is the day before he even went to Minneapolis.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Lemon Nation. Just want to let you guys know I am heading to Minneapolis to report on what's going on there with ICE and federal agents. They have gotten out of control since the death of Renee Nicole Good. They were out of control then. It's worse now. They have become emboldened. It's time to go to the streets so I can bring you the truth. So next time I see you, we'll probably be in Minneapolis. So make sure you check us out. The Don Lemon Show on YouTube, on Twitch, on Instagram, TikTok, Substack. And anywhere you get social and streaming.
Now, I leave that in there for a reason, because this is what I mean by he is ignorant. He does not even know that he is actually being used for political purposes. Mm. But the political actor is on the scene. Her name is Nakima Levy Armstrong. She is well known from the Black Lives Matter movement. She is a Marxist. She has a consulting company, which, you know, that's not, it's not like a nonprofit, so I can't look into the books. But she is an activist, an actor, an activist for the Democrat Party, for Act Blue, for a political purpose. And I think even so, he's talking to her now before anything started. He just happens to, as a journalist, just happens to show up in the parking lot before this goes down.
Into Minneapolis a little bit ago and did some reconnaissance on the ground. I'm speaking to an organization there that's gearing up to for resistance and protest. I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised, to see the community coming together. Diverse community. If you see this, when we first pulled up, we're like, wait a minute, which operation are we at? And as it turns out, because we're like, well, this is kind of MAGA coded, right? Saw the American flag or whatever, but these are resistance protesters. They're planning an operation that we're going to follow them on. I can't tell you exactly what they're doing, but it's called Operation Pull Up. And it's Nakima Armstrong, and she has been doing this since George Floyd, Dante Wright, and others, where they surprise people, catch them off guard, and hold them to account. And so that's what we're doing here. And then we're after that, after we do this operation, you'll see it live. And these operations are surprise operations. Again, can't tell you where they're going.
Okay. Peaceably assembling is not an operation with a code name, okay? This is a setup. This is where it becomes apparent this has nothing to do with ICE. This has nothing to do with illegal immigration and whatever is happening in Minneapolis on the ground. This is now a racial political operation.
Totally picked up on that tone.
And they brought in the expert. She knows exactly how to do it. And this is Don Lemon talking with Nakima Levy Armstrong. And by the way, I have nothing against her. I just want to point out what she is. what she does, I do have problems with, obviously, but I had problems with all kinds of operations that she was involved in. This is partially inside, and I edited this together. It's very short, but just so you can get an idea of what they're talking about.
Tell us why you're doing this.
This is Operation Pull Up, more of a clandestine operation. We show up somewhere that is a key location. They don't expect us to come there, and then we disrupt business as usual. So that's what we're about to go do right now. We're demanding justice for Renee Good and letting them know that this will not stand. They cannot pretend to be a house of God while harboring someone who is directing ICE agents to wreak havoc upon our community and who killed Renee Good, who almost killed a six-month-old baby. Enough is enough. I am a reverend on top of being a lawyer and an activist. So I come here in the power of the Almighty God.
Okay, I'm glad. Wow. I'm glad I have this clip because this now moves over into your field of expertise. But obviously, she's talking about George Floyd. She's talking about other black victims of police encounter. There's an added piece to this, which is the LGBTQ agenda, because Renee Good was claimed to be married to a woman. You've got Don Lemon, who represents both. I mean, this is a carefully crafted message. She does have a law degree. She has preached at a church. The reason they say this church was targeted is because someone who is in the ICE office in Minneapolis locally either preaches at the church, is on the board of the church, attends the church. It's a little unclear. Notice this was a complete white church. Somehow I doubt that this would have been done in a black church, and right. There are also black ICE enforcement agents. So just to reiterate, these people are actually racist.
Very much so.
And so when she says this about this as a house of God, what's your reaction to that?
Ooh. When she says, and I'm a reverend, mm-hmm.
Yes.
As though that somehow validates any schmuck.
Al Sharpton's a reverend.
Exactly. Like I said, any schmuck can go online and get them a license to preach and mm-hmm. to marry and bury. And typically what people do, you can get commissioned by a church or you can get licensed. And if you can't get a church to do it, you can certainly find somebody online to do it. This happens all the time. And people willy-nilly running around saying, I'm a pastor, I'm a reverend, I'm a minister. That means squat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me see your 10,000 hours. Let's see how much you've put into this thing.
Right.
Because if you're all those other things, you cannot effectively be that one. You can't have 15 jobs and do everything you do and say you're a legitimate representative of God. And you know, I'm not even tore up about her tone and stuff. I'm just like sad that people will look to leverage anything.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing, they don't even realize it, is they are using people. They're using good people for their own ends, for their own agenda, which is dehumanizing in itself. They don't see that church as a bunch of human beings that they supposedly love so much. They just see them as a bunch of nameless, faceless people that will further their cause if they go disrupt.
I'm going to play a clip out of order here. Because this is Don Lemon today. And by the way, he's in it for the views, for the likes, for the clicks. I mean, he was fired from CNN. Now he's on CNN. Everyone's talking about him. So he loves this. I mean, he'll have to deal with that in his own life, whatever happens with him. But this is how he views it now. 3 days after the fact.
And there's a certain degree of entitlement. I think people who are, you know, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that entitlement comes from a white supremacy. And they think that this country was built for them, that it is a Christian country, when actually we left England because we wanted religious freedom. It's religious freedom, but only if you're a Christian and only if you're a white male, pretty much. And so, yeah, I absolutely 100%, but it's an intimidation tactic. And, you know, I said, I don't understand how I've become the face of it when I was a journalist. I do understand that I'm the biggest name there. And I'm also, as I was on with my producers this morning, you know, you and Kylie talk all the time. My producers were saying, I said, how did I become the face of this? And my producer said, Don, you're a gay black man in America.
No, that's why you were chosen for the operation, Don. That's why you were
Sounds
there.
Sounds like he inserted himself in the operation. He showed up. He was like, this is going to bump my ratings. Mm-hmm. This is going to bump my validity in the podcast world. I mean, these are users. And he's talking about they're entitled. When you go interrupt what they're doing, mm-hmm. it's their fault.
And
mind bending.
And so here's just the ignorant parts. There's more of Don Lemon's thinking. First, about the First Amendment.
This is the beginning of what's going to happen here. When you violate people's due process, when you pull people off the street, you start dragging them and hurting them and not abiding by the Constitution, when you start doing all of that, people get upset and angry. And if you remember what the civil rights movement was about, the civil rights movement was about these very kinds of protests. There's nothing in the Constitution that tells you what time you can protest.
Actually, yes, there is, Don. There literally is a time, place, and manner.
What time you can protest. You can protest at any time. That's the whole point of it, is to disrupt, to make uncomfortable. And that's what they're doing. And that's what I believe when I say everyone has to be willing to sacrifice something. You have to make people uncomfortable in these times.
So he believes that a First Amendment right to peaceably assemble means you can disrupt, you can make people uncomfortable, you can do it anytime, anywhere you want. We're really, this is very simple, you know, because, and we're going to get to the end here. People are now, Christians are so mad at Don Lemon. Throw him in jail. Look, they were trespassing. That's basically what happened. They were trespassing. And, you know, we could look at all kinds of different types of trespassing in recent history where people were thrown in jail immediately. And so there's a lot of calling for that, you know, just like January 6th, throw them in jail. No. Let's not do evil with evil. Let's calm down and let's not take the bait, because this has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with the church. This is purely political. Happens, you know, MLK Day. I mean, it's all so obviously set up. And here's Don misunderstanding the freedom of the press, which cannot be hindered, which is not about I get to go where I go, but I get to speak or write or broadcast.
The MAGA administration and the fake news MAGAs are losing their mind over something that's not even true. So let me just make it clear, because this assistant attorney general, I don't know, gosh, what's her name? It's something, Hammett.
He's talking about Hamit Dillon, but okay.
Dillon or whatever. So, I had no affiliation to that organization. I didn't even know they were going to this church until we followed them there. We were there chronicling protests. Once the protests started in the church, we did an act of journalism, which was report on it and talk to the people who were involved, which included the pastor, members of the church, and members of the organization. That's it. It's called journalism. First Amendment, all that stuff. For all of you people who believe in the First Amendment, absolutist. There you go. So why don't you talk to the actual person who is in charge of the organization and whose idea it was to have the protests at the church before you start blaming me for stuff for which you have no idea. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Okay.
Wow.
So he truly believes that the First Amendment protects him from trespassing, going wherever he wants, doing whatever he wants to do. And that is not the First Amendment. It's just not. I think the blowback was a little more than he expected, because now they're pinning it all on him. And there's something to be said about that, because when I heard Paul Chappell, he's the senior pastor, he's the president of the West Coast Baptist College. So he's now a spokesperson for this event. He takes the bait. Mm. He takes the bait.
Today in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a group of activists led by Don Lemon stormed a Baptist church by the name of Cities Church.
This is a mistake. And I think it's a mistake for all the podcast pastors. Don't go after Don Lemon. Do not take this bait. This was a racial, trans-Maoist agenda these people had. They don't care.
And by taking the bait, you're literally fueling that fire.
And you're elevating it to a spot where it should not be. Let's listen to the rest.
During their worship time, they were screaming and chanting, disrupting the singing and the preaching, because they suspected an ICE officer may attend the church. This is a violation of what is known as the FACE Act. And not only...
This is interesting. I see Christians everywhere. They violated the FACE Act. It's the FACE. Do you know what the FACE Act is?
Yes, I do.
And I think most people don't.
We've seen people that it really gets applied to abortion clinics and that's places like that.
It literally stands for
proximity,
freedom of access to clinic entrances.
Yeah.
So it's almost ludicrous to me that you're now using the very law that is intended to keep Christians praying near an abortion clinic. Turning this around, it just feels like the dumbest thing we could do. I'm mind blowing.
It's not
to
well informed.
No,
we condemn this act. But tonight, I want to demand that the Department of Justice investigate what took place in Minneapolis, apprehend those who broke the law, and arrest them accordingly. We must protect religious liberty in this country. As people meet to worship God, they have been given legally the right to enter, to worship, and to leave their place of worship. The Lord Jesus said, in the world, you will...
I found this also interesting because he's kind of convoluting the First Amendment. This wasn't the government. These were protesters. These were trespassers. And it just didn't feel right to me, Jimmy. You know, it's just like...
Yeah, I hear his heart in it because it's shocking.
Of course.
When we've lived in a country where very little of this has ever happened.
Right.
So we don't expect it. So when it's happened, it's happening all over the world. But when it happens here, it's shocking.
Yeah.
And so when I first heard about it, I was like, there was a part of me that'd be like, man, I'd like to have been there.
Well, I think
I would like to see the dynamic of what's happening.
Yeah.
Not because I want to hurt anybody, but because I'd really like to pull someone out of that crowd and go, do you really know what you're doing here and why you're doing it? And I want to know. I'm that way. I'm systemic in thinking. So I want to know what led you to this point where you felt like it was okay to do this. You know, and you're going to get the same rage rant, you know, probably from most. But for me, bottom line, Don Lemon is now on my prayer list.
Yes.
Thank you, Don Lemon.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've given me another person to pray for.
And
not against.
No. My message or my thinking, I don't have a message, but my thinking. Well,
you don't have an agenda, but you have a message.
Correct. We're taking this bait, and here's Adam's crystal ball. Now it's going to be the Christian nationalists, and it's going to be label after label after label, and everyone's going to be mad online and going back and forth. And the whole idea, and you know, what's happening with ICE, it's not pretty to look at. You know, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But we are a nation of laws, and you know, so again, even people in that church who were saying, you know, we can talk about the optics and how it looks and what's happening, but this is not about that. This is about the midterm 2026 election and the labeling of Christian nationalists versus the people who love people, and they're literally stealing love away from us.
No kidding.
And I just want to, and I only do this really for our family, for our church. Anyone else who's listening to it is great. Don't go commenting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, don't engage in it.
Yes. Thank you.
Do not feed the algorithm because that only pushes it more and more to the top. And it is only intended to divide us even more.
A wise person once said to me, pick up your Bibles and put down your screens. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. this is what's happening. This dynamic that's come out of this mm-hmm. is the very reason why I've taken a big step back from news cycles, news reels, news feeds, because people are living spun up, and that's the point, to create yep. chaos. That's yep. that's Marxism 101.
Yeah, sure is.
Create chaos. And any way they can do it, they feel like they've arrived at their objective if they're creating chaos like that. I mean, gosh, Don Lemon's probably just basking in the glow and the din of noise behind him as he's speaking into a microphone and people are yelling. He's like
pretty prideful.
He's going, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. This yeah. is exactly what I hoped would happen.
I think your response is the best. And I would love for, like, when you come to church on Sunday and someone starts talking about it, what you just said was perfect. I'm so happy that this happened because now I can add Don Lemon to my prayer list.
Yeah.
And we should be giving our enemy to drink and to eat, because that will be like pouring hot coals over his
there
head.
It
That's
is.
One of my favorites.
And to pray for his yeah. legitimate salvation,
yes.
be born again of the Spirit of God, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, mm-hmm. kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and number nine, the biggie,
self-control. Yep.
And you know, when someone walks in that, and it says even in that passage in Galatians chapter 5, they're led by the Spirit. And so you can be led by a Spirit, but not be led by the Holy Spirit. Yep. And that's what a lot of, when I hear people throwing around their own little version of Christian rhetoric to suit their little agenda and their narrative, it's like, yeah, you're following a Spirit. You're just not following the Spirit.
Yep.
Has nothing to do with being white. Has nothing to do with being Baptist or non-denominational or Catholic or what or Baha'i.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is this: is am I led by the Spirit of God, the Most High God, who so loved this world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the God we serve, and so you've just fired. This is a shot over the bow for Christians. I hope that whoever listens to this, if they claim faith, the first thing that they didn't do was to go jump on their computer, grab their keyboard, and start reposting. And man, I've seen a lot of that.
Yep.
And I don't spend a lot of time on social media these days. I'm so backed off. But what little bit I've seen, and I won't name names, but I've got a lot of friends in ministry mm-hmm. that are a little more high profile than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some of the stuff they're doing, and I'm just like, you're exactly right. They've taken the bait. Do you know there's a title of a book that John Bevere wrote years ago called The Bait of Satan?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, forget the book. The title
is good. Yeah.
Is there. And mm-hmm. and really, that's what this is. And I see Don Lemon. You can hear him smiling in his voice. I mean, literally, he is like he's
on
giddy.
Fire. Yes, yes. He's relevant.
Like he's like people from the Weather Channel that are in the middle of a hurricane and they're so excited.
I'm going to use that on No Agenda.
They're
exactly
way too
it.
Excited.
That's exactly
like,
it.
You act yeah. more. You're giddy over this. What was the guy, John Cantori or whatever his name? Yeah, Cantori.
Yeah, I think that's it.
He's the one who's like, you know, he looks like a football player. He's yeah. out there in the middle of a hurricane. Some guy walking in the background. A dog strolls by.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, mm-hmm. I always, when these things happen, those weather, I was telling it, God, they are way too excited about this. This is like terrible. But it's the same thing as sometimes we as Christians, we get so caught up in something. For Don Lemon, oh my gosh, my views are going to go. It couldn't have happened any better for me.
I might get back on cable news
exactly.
again.
I'm going to get a job. I want to do this.
So,
yeah.
Along with this, because yes, it's intended for us to engage and to start fighting back and forth. The algorithms love it. Everybody mm-hmm. wins. Everybody wins. Not everybody, but all the worldly, fleshly behaviors, all of that wins. The worst part is, our elected leaders take this bait too. Mm-hmm. They take it hook, line, and sinker because they're Don Lemons too.
Yeah, they get their 15 seconds of fame.
And that means votes and that means attention. And, you know,
yeah.
I may have someone trying to primary me. None of it has anything to do with the original reason.
Exactly.
So I'm going to leave this with 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. I urge you, first of all, this is Paul to Timothy, I guess, right?
Yes.
To pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. And we have to pray for Republicans and Democrats. I think we forget that part.
Adam, this is so good. And I will say, boy, I'm so in line. I actually read that passage right after I did the brief on Sunday.
Oh, really? Yeah, oh, okay.
I put it on the end of the brief.
Perfect.
Because this is what we're called to do. I think maybe an unsung hero, and it's only from completely out of context, and I didn't see the interview. I didn't see before or after, really, is that pastor. I thought he handled himself very well, considering this group had come in.
It's going on in the background. I mean, it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening in real time, and he's not panicked.
No.
He's not losing his mind. It's funny, Don Lemon, get your hands off me. Don't push me.
Stop pushing me.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Really? Sheesh. Yeah. So I thought that pastor was handling it pretty well.
Yes.
Because that could have been a real situation. If you're in a bad temperament day and you're just like, you're concerned for your family, you're concerned for... I would be concerned if people came in yelling and screaming, and who's to say there's not a gun? Who's to say there's not something nefarious?
Is this an odd question to ask? How would you like your church, our church here, to respond if that happened here?
Oh, man.
Because that was on my mind. I'm thinking, I know guys who could go pretty radical.
Being in the Texas Hill Country and from a long line of independent spirited people, yes, as Texans, and darn well proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be a very volatile situation. Mm-hmm. Very volatile. I mean, not only do we have paid security staff and mm-hmm. team that are professionals, is what they do, but we have a large contingent, about 32 people involved in our safety team in this church.
And then there's another 100 who are carrying.
Mostly women. Mostly women, the ladies of our church.
That's true.
And they know how to use them. And so that's why I'm saying this could have been very tragic.
Yes.
It could have gone even worse.
Well, they chose this church specifically.
There you go.
I do not have any fear whatsoever. This type of protest, peaceable assembly would happen mm-hmm. at our church. I just have no worries.
I know
about
for
that.
Me, I would have to be on the speaker. I'd have to be on the microphone telling people to stand down.
Yeah.
I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
Because I know our people and I love our people and they love us.
Yeah.
A week doesn't go by where one or two people say, Pastor, I got your six. One of them says, I can get to you in 2.8 seconds. I know I've timed it.
I know exactly who says that.
You know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, is this serious? You know, I mean, we've got, I'm just saying that would be the tragedy of it for me. Yeah,
but also I don't want people to feel fearful. No. I don't want to worry about this. And again, just.
Good.
Don't well take said. The bait. Just,
there it is.
Just pray for these people and pray for our country. Pray for our elected representatives, because they're the ones that are actually being there. They are the they may even be the intended target, now that I think about it. Mm. They are a target in this operation.
Yeah.
And it's an operation.
It
for
is.
Sure.
She even called it that.
Yeah.
Code name.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, this is paid for. This is
but
done
again,
on
the setup and on a positive, in a positive spin of this, the setup is that if we as believers, Christians, followers of Jesus respond rightly, that means Don Lemon is about to get prayed for, that he would come to know Jesus in a way that transforms his life from the inside out, changes his eternity. I mean, he put a target on his back
for prayer
in the right way.
A prayer target. Yeah, that's right.
And that's how I see these kinds of things. It's like, okay, you know, Joe Biden did some things in that, you know, during his term, and everybody around him, of course, he was the face of it. And I even told our church, what he's done for me is I have a target to pray for.
Yep.
I have a person to pray for. I want him to be saved. I don't want him to go to hell. I want him to be saved. I want Hillary Clinton to be born again. I want these people to come to know the truth, not my political persuasion, but the truth of the gospel, the good news. And I know that sounds radical, but Jesus was radical.
Yeah, he was a badass outlaw.
There it is. I'm glad you said it. I was thinking it. You said it.
Brother, shall we land this plane right here?
Oh, man. Thank you, Adam, for bringing life, bringing this. This is important, and it's what's happening in our world right now.
And the good news is we get to do this. We get to do it every week. We'll be back next week. Thank you all, everybody. God bless.